whole pockets.
Woo!
Found.
Go! Baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Four pockets, I'm full. My trunk and my hood. I fucked everything, look good. Make me still in the hood. Different bitches with me every night. I'm a dog, but I never bite. Tell her, baby, we gon' be alright. We ain't going out without a fight. These niggas out of control. They just been hating on me right in front of me. I promise I already know. Me and lil' baby, the niggas they wanna be. Got the trap on the back street. Sold 100 packs last week. Have you ever spent $1 million? Nigga, you ain't had to ask me.
Hell yeah, what's up y'all? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Today's show, let me bump this song, this other song. Today's show is brought by this song here. Hold on 1 second. It's brought by this song here. Hold on. Today's show is brought to you by this song. Called Modern Day Slave. That's by my dude Robbie Blue. You guys go to his YouTube channel. Subscribe to his YouTube channel at Robbie Blue on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. That's Robbie Blue, his new single called Modern Day Slave. He's spitting. Check him out. Support my dude's YouTube channel. Holla. But anyway, man, I'm going to chop up some real good game on today's show. Y'all can call me. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. I need y'all to holler at me. Let's chop it up, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to take another commercial break. And when I come back, we're going to make it do what it do so you don't move a muscle right here on Tariq Radio.
Do you have any personal dating issues that you need addressed right now? Dating and life coach Mr. Locario will help you with his 30-minute game session. The Mr. Locario's 30-minute game session is a private one-on-one coaching session on the phone or through Skype. For 30 minutes, you'll get answers to any dating questions you have. To set up your 30-minute game session, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
Check out a brand new book out right now called The Unconquered, The Yamasee and Gullah Geechee Wars. This book is a historical novel about the 1715 Yamasee War and the first of the three successive Gullah Geechee Wars that were fought and won against the white supremacists by the melanated soldiers during the early 19th century. This book has a lot of good information in it. It talks about how they defeated their former oppressors and enslavers in South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama, and they maintained and established autonomous settlements in Florida that thrived and existed for almost 200 years. The book is available right now at paperback and by ebook. Both can be purchased at theunconquered.movie and on Amazon. Yo, check out the award-winning docuseries Elementary Genocide. This docuseries provides a critical expose of mass incarceration, the war on drugs, and the connection between slavery, capitalism, and the prison industrial complex. This docuseries features Dr. Umar Johnson, Dr. Boyce Watkins, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, Killer Mike, David Banner, Professor James Small, Kaba Kamene, and so many other people. Check out Elementary Genocide, The School to Prison Pipeline, Elementary Genocide 2, The Board of Education versus the Board of Incarceration, and the latest installment, Elementary Genocide 3, The Academic Holocaust. It's all available now at elementarygenocide.com. If you're out traveling somewhere in another country and you're trying to spit some game, or you're trying to do some kind of commerce, or you're trying to handle business and you want to be able to translate what you're trying to say naturally, you need to check out this new app called Two Way ATT. It's the Auto Text Translator. It's better than Google Translate because it lets the conversation flow naturally when you speak through this app so that it seems like you speak the same language. So go to iTunes and check out Two Way ATT Auto Text Translator. Yo, if you want to get your mouthpiece tight, you want to get your game right, and you want to get your ism out of sight, you need to check out my man, Kevin Derek Gentry. My man does personal coaching and game advising, and he teaches dudes how to really step that game up on how to pull women and really get women to cooperate with that game. So check out my man, Kevin Derek Gentry. a.k.a. the Boss Hog Macaroni, call or text him at 404-207-5640 to get that personal game. Yo, if you are a parent or if you are a teacher or if you're somebody who just values education, then you have to pre-order Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an animated DVD series that uses hip-hop to teach kids lessons in math, language arts, drug prevention, and much, much more. You need to check it out right now at giftedandlit.com. Pre-order right now at giftedandlit.com. What's up, family? If you're looking to make music and you need an experienced, no-nonsense audio engineer that can professionally mix and master your music, then check out my friends at LegendaryMix.com. With over 15 years in the music industry, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional music, mixing, and mastering for a great price and fast turnaround times. And as a bonus sign-up to their email list at LegendaryMix.com, you'll receive a discount link and a free music marketing ebook. So drop everything right now. Send a text to legendarymix.com at 347-565-5892 or send an email to music@legendarymix.com. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispin, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
What's up, family? We are back. We are back. We are back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio, and I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. We're doing a late night show, but I'm here for you, family. I'm not going to leave you. I wouldn't deceive you. I wouldn't leave you hanging. I'm here ready to chop up some good game with the family, man. And first of all, I want to thank everybody for getting the 1804 DVD. The 1804 Hidden History of Haiti, that's killing the game. Still the top DVD in the country right now. You can get it at Amazon, or you can just go to our website, 1804movie.com, and get that. Shout out to all the Indiegogo people who contributed to Indiegogo. We're sending your DVDs out now. We've been sending them for the last couple of weeks. We're literally sending thousands of DVDs out. There are thousands of people who contributed, so there's a, you know, I got extra staff in there just sending DVDs out all day. So it's a, I mean, we have just boxes and we running out of stamp. I mean, it's like a big conveyor belt of DVDs we're sending out every day. So some of the people who have not gotten their DVDs, you're going to get them. You're definitely going to get them. We're just sending these things out by the boatloads every day. Shout out to my lovely staff, my wonderful staff, who's just really putting in work. Not only getting out all the Indiegogo DVDs, but we're fulfilling all of these other orders, because again, everything at our office is self-distribution. I have my staff sending everything out, and we're getting everything out on time for a lot of people. Shout out to all the stores and everybody who are getting the DVDs. They're going to do another screening over in the UK. So the thing is just taking off. People absolutely love the film, and I just got to shout out the family for supporting. And again, we're getting your DVDs out fast. If you order a DVD like tomorrow, it'll be there in a couple of days. So we're getting it out fast. And I got to appreciate everybody for that. Lot of stuff going on. We got to chop up game about. Today's show, the topic is about symbolic victories. That's the topic of today's show. We're talking about symbolic things that black folks do. We get caught up in a lot of symbolic victories. And we got to get off that. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later. I do want to touch on again. I'm tired of beating a dead horse, the whole Tyrese thing. I found out today, and a lot of people found out that whole Tyrese thing, because I talked about him last week. Tyrese doing all that crying and all that bullshit about his daughter. I told you that wasn't really about his daughter, because he was crying about some other shit. And he got on video talking about how Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, they gave him $5 million. And he was going on about that. And come to find out, that's not even true. Some reps for Will and Jada came out and said, we didn't give this nigga no $5 million damn dollars. So this is why I didn't feel sorry for dude. A lot of folks are saying we should feel sorry for him. That's one of the reasons why I don't feel sorry for this dude. The nigga's just trolling and attention whoring right now. It ain't about his daughter. And that's another reason I don't respect that, because when you use your children as a proxy for your fuckery, that's some sucker shit. That's hoe shit. My dude, this is not going to be a long show about that. I just wanted to touch on that. That's what hood rats do. My nigga is acting like a goddamn hood rat. You're using your kid as a proxy to get sympathy. He's crying, talking about he's crying about his daughter. Then he's lying. This nigga's crying, lying, and twerking. Then he did a video where he was cooking, and then he started twerking. This ain't about this nigga's daughter. It's just a nigga trying to get attention. He's attention whoring, trying to feel relevant. He's just attention, just whole shit. Lying, crying, and twerking. And all this shit about we got to feel sympathy. Now, we got to cut that moist, supporting moist shit out. A lot of moist behavior we got to not support. We got this thing where we want to coddle moist niggas. Niggas doing sucker shit. And what Tyrese is doing at this point is low-key cooning, to be honest. If we're going to be very honest about it, a lot of it is low-key cooning. You dig? But there's a lot of moist shit that we got to stop co-signing, and a lot of fuckery and a lot of cooning and a lot of symbolic kumbaya. Now, the main picture on today's show, the main screen cap, is a picture that people have been sending me for a couple of weeks of this black dude hugging a neo-Nazi. Now, I know some of you have seen this picture. Many of you have sent me this picture. There's an alt-right Nazi rally. I want to say it was in Idaho. I'm not sure where it was. But the picture that has gone viral is the black man hugging this damn Nazi. I mean, this picture is all over the place. The mainstream media, they're loving it. They're eating it up, showing the black man hugging the Nazi. And look at the message they're trying to show. They're trying to show us, hey, black folks, take the high road. When they go low, you go high. You're so much morally better. Bullshit. What they're trying to show, the message they're trying to give, is black folks, be passive, sensitive, and moist and non-aggressive when it comes to these damn terrorists. That's the message that they're trying to send. Understand this. This is what they're not telling you as far as that picture is concerned. There's a video to it. In the video, there's a rally, and this white supremacist tries to be bold by walking in the crowd, because this is how they establish their dominance. They send a sacrificial lamb out there to see how much they can get away with. And once they get an inch, they take a mile. But he's walking in the crowd, and people are yelling at him and cursing at him and all this. And then a brother with a hoodie on just runs up and socks him in his fucking mouth, as he should. You should neutralize terrorists. Brother socked him dead in his fucking mouth and bounced. They don't show you that. I'm gonna post the video on my Twitter, by the way, but a brother gave him the fist of Ogun. A brother gave him that Ogun fist. And then the Negro went there with all the hugging. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Then later on, the brother went up there hugging him. Oh, it's going to be all right. See, every time we have warriors within our community protect the community from these terrorists, there's always a butter biscuit, maple syrup sipping, ass-licking Sambo coon coming in there trying to, oh, Lord, leave him alone, Lord. Oh, the Lord knows his heart. We do that dumb shit, or we have Negroes doing that stupid shit all the time. Oh, Lord, Ray! We have them niggas. The minute you see white daddy terrorists, getting that work from a warrior, you niggas, the coon slave spirit start coming up in you. When we get the Ogun spirit, the slave spirit comes through some of you niggas. He's up here hugging him and saving him. And yeah, that happened again. Remember in Detroit a long time ago, there's an infamous picture of some skinheads. They were out there in Detroit and the brothers were giving them that work. The Klan was out there trying to have a rally and brothers was putting the feet on their ass. Then this bed wench mammy jumped up there. Lord, leave him alone. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Bucking her eyes, protecting the goddamn white supremacists. Oh, Lord, don't hurt him now. Leave him alone. Let's say some spirituals. So shut your ass up and sit down. My God. But we do these little symbolic-ass gestures, hugging a Nazi. That's some symbolic kumbaya bullshit that doesn't get us anywhere. We've been hugging Nazis for 400 damn years. How has that worked? How has that worked? And again, the media will eat that up. They love to see us passive and docile. They're not showing you this Nazi getting his damn mouth popped. And I'm going to post that damn clip up on YouTube. I mean, not YouTube. I'm going to post it on my Twitter. I'm going to post that on that Twitter. But we got to chill out with the moist shit, though, man. God damn. We got to stand up and be on some manhood shit. Because the thing is, when you cooning or when you cooning and moisture kind of goes hand in hand. You dig? Because when you submit to the white supremacists, you know, they want you to submit economically, mentally and sexually, especially if you're a man. Definitely if you're a woman, but even if you're a man, I say it like that because a lot of times we think that sexual exploitation is just on the sisters. No, it's on these niggas too. You dig? Because the white supremacists, they're sexually perverse with each other. Look at all of the cases that's coming out showing the perverse nature of these white supremacists in Hollywood. Look at all these actors and directors getting called out. Kevin Spacey, so people, it's men coming out about his ass every day. Now Charlie Sheen, now we know he's a racist white supremacist degenerate, Charlie Sheen. Now they just came out today, they named him as the dude who raped actor Corey Haim back in 1986. It was a kid actor, Corey Haim, and Corey Feldman, the two Coreys. They were very popular in the 80s. And on the set of a movie in 86, when Charlie Sheen was 19 and Corey Haim was 13, they said that Charlie Sheen raped the kid. And that has been a rumor for a long time. That's been a rumor in Hollywood for a long time. And when Denise Richards was divorcing Charlie Sheen, in the divorce papers, and you can look it up online, she was talking about how this dude was looking at gay porn and pedophile porn, and that was one of the reasons why she divorced his ass. And he went on a rant with her, calling her all types of niggas, and she's white, and he's calling her a nigga. So the pedophilia and the moisture and the sodomy that these dudes and the rapings, and they're talking about filing charges on Harvey Weinstein, which that's going to probably go away. And shout out to Dame Dash. Shout out to the homie Dame Dash. again, Dame Dash was really one of the only people who was calling out Harvey Weinstein and his fuckery for a long time. Go look at old interviews of Damon Dash calling Harvey Weinstein out. And a lot of people were criticizing Dame Dash for calling Harvey out because Harvey, you know, he was on some other shit, not just with the ladies, but, you know, that type of mentality where you think you can get away with raping chicks and groping them and fondling them and all this old bullshit. You can get away with anything. And Dame was like, hey, I'm not feeling the way this dude is treating folks. You know, fuck him. So Dame was on that shit and people were like, oh, Lord, bucking their eyes. Oh, Lord, Dame, you gonna mess it up for everybody. You know, but everybody's not a goddamn coon. Dame is not a coon. That's the homie. Everybody ain't a coon when you get around these damn white supremacists, nigga. All money ain't good fucking money. That's why I look at Terry Crews side eye, because now Terry Crews is about to file a police report against the man that sexually groped him, because Terry Crews was talking about, now that he saw the coast was clear to talk about sexual exploitations in Hollywood, he told a story about how he was at a party with his wife and some white dude, a producer, a director, came up and grabbed his dick and all this old shit in front of his wife. And he felt uncomfortable about it, but he didn't do nothing. And I say this, you must have been acting a certain way to make that motherfucker make him comfortable enough to come and grab your dick in front of your wife. He must have been up in there cooning, buck dancing, grinning, skinning and grinning. And once they see you cooning or skinning and grinning just a little bit too much, I'm not trying to put the coon tag on my brother Terry Crews, because I like the brother. Seems like a real good dude. But he must have been in there skinning and grinning just a little bit too much to make them damn white supremacists comfortable enough to go grab his damn dick. Because let me tell you something, they know not to step to a motherfucker like me, because I don't even give off that kind of energy. There's a certain energy you got to give off for somebody to come run up and grab your damn dick. Because I'm the type of nigga, like, I've been into meetings in Hollywood and they said some shit. They said something I didn't like and I get the fuck up and walk out. That's the kind of energy. I'm like, y'all talking a little bit too reckless for me right now. I don't even like the way y'all talking. And I don't need this shit like that. I ain't coming in here hungry. They love a hungry nigga. Now, I don't go in those meetings hungry. Because when you hungry, you open your ass up. And they expect you to open your ass up. They know you hungry. That's why they fucking everybody. They fucking, people allow their kids to be fucked, by the way. Let's be very clear. How long have I been telling you guys about these pedophile rings? Not only have I been telling y'all about these pedophile rings here on the show for years, I used to talk about it on the Mac Lessons radio show. I have a pay-per-view special that I did damn near a decade ago called Sex Magic. That's on MacLessons.com. If you go to MacLessons.com, there's a pay-per-view special. It costs a couple of chips to get, but it's worth listening to. It's called Sex Magic. I talk about those pedophile rings then. I've been dropping this shit talking about the pedophile rings in Hollywood and all over for a damn decade. If I know about it, a lot of other motherfuckers know about it. You dig? But that movie, An Open Secret, I've been telling y'all about that for years. Movies that's been buried by Hollywood. For years, I've been telling y'all about this. So this is common. It's coming out now because of the whole Trump administration. So now people feel comfortable with talking about sexual exploitation, because now the pussy grabbers are real comfortable because you got a pussy grabber in the White House. So understand, that has made a lot of people real comfortable with their sexual exploitation, having Trump up in the White House, because you're not going to really get reprimanded. You dig? But understand, they know, the parents know that these children are getting raped. But when you're hungry, you'll sacrifice your damn kid if you got that fucked up mentality. When you're hungry, you're like, my kid needs to be a star. Well, he's going to have to go in that little room and do some strange for some change, but that's mommy's little trooper. You better believe they have that bullshit, fucked up, janky mentality out here. They know. That's why all these child actors, why you think all of them grow up and get on the pipe? Not the dick pipe, but the crack pipe. All these kids be getting fucked up in the game, getting molested and all that. Unfortunately, especially like the ones back in the 80s and 90s. That shit was rampant. Damn near everybody you saw on TV was getting ran up on by these producers. The parents know, all these people know. They set them up out there and let it happen. And then turn a blind eye, and that's just the cost of doing business. Nigga, fuck that. That's why you got to go in there strong. They don't like strong father figures. They don't like strong men going in there representing. They love a skinning and grinning nigga. They love you hungry and starving so they can exploit your ass. You dig? That's why I always say, go into a situation strong. Don't go in there with your tail between your legs. When the motherfuckers see you hungry, they're going to take advantage of that. Big time. Let me see if the phone line's working. Hello?
Hey, what's up, Tyreek, man? It's Gerard from Baltimore.
Hey, brother, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I was just calling because I wanted to know how you feel about the whole Meek Mill situation.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm going to get on that in a little bit later, man. Real deep stuff. I'm going to get on that a little later, man. But thanks for the call. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Meek Mill situation a little bit later. Folks, a lot of y'all up, man. It's late tonight, and y'all up here heavy. While y'all listening to me now, y'all need to go to www.1804movie.com. Get your movie while you're listening. Order it now. Get that DVD. You're going to need that information. You need it, because the 1804 movie, that has the white supremacists riled up. I keep getting that. Well, it's anti-white. That movie has an anti-white slant. It's an anti-white bias. The fuck are y'all talking about? History is history. We're just telling the shit what happened. I don't know what you white supremacists are really upset about. The shit happened. We're telling what happened. Ain't no bias. The French, the British, the Spanish, they went to Haiti and got the shit kicked out of them. They ain't biased. The shit happened. It happened or it didn't. They can't call the shit a lie. You can't say something was inaccurate in it. So they're using terms like, well, it's bias. That's what I've been hearing from the naysayers. You dig? Let me see who else is on the phone. A lot of folks are calling. I'm not going to take too many calls, but a lot of folks are calling. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, Tariq?
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
Hey, what's up, man? This is Samir from New Jersey. How you doing?
I'm good. Where you driving to, brother? Sound like you in a car. Are you driving an Uber or something, nigga?
Nah. You know what? I'm just getting to work. Let me get in here and close this door. I drive trucks at night.
Oh, okay. But, this nigga got some passengers in the back. About to take him to the club and want to call the show. Okay?
Yeah, right. So, listen, because you're speaking about symbolic victories. And, like, right now, I mean, just the other day, it's funny you spoke on it. Just yesterday, I had a friend of mine call me. And basically, they're still kind of, like, on my case for my stance on last election. Meaning that I didn't sit the election out, but I didn't vote for Hillary. I voted for a third party. My vote was a giveaway. So, you know, family and friends are basically coming at me like, okay, you got what you wanted because I didn't vote for Hillary.
Right.
So, you know, do you still feel that, you know, we're better off? I mean, because, you know, better off under Trump than we was under Obama.
As far as black people, yes. As far as black people, that's what we don't get. See, black folks, we think that we are somehow aligned with all these other groups that's getting the shit kicked out of them. No, we're actually doing okay under Trump as black folks. We're fine. All these other groups are getting the shit kicked out of them. Shit, under Obama, we were getting shot every other fucking day. Now all the shit is getting spread to all these other groups. So we're pretty fine because all the other groups, So we really have to look at it like that. Black folks, Trump is fucked up. Look what he did to the Mexicans, that nigga. They can hold their own fucking nuts.
But you know what, Tariq? But what is it? What is it in the psyche of black people where we just think we're not deserving of nothing? Like, you know what I'm saying? So And the argument is always, well, what you wanted Obama to do for us? Like, we don't think we're deserving
exactly.
of nothing. We're fucking America. I don't mean to curse.
No,
we're American citizens. To do for African Americans, specifically, is to do for American citizens.
Exactly.
Why do we feel like we're not entitled enough?
Because we're taught that being a slave is somehow honorable. That's a slave mentality. What do slaves do? They sacrifice themselves to build up others. That's what slaves do. They sacrifice their labor, their work, and their lives for white mommy, white daddy, Asian mommy, Asian daddy. That's what slaves do. That's the point of a slave. And we have yet collectively to shake that bullshit off of our psyche. We have to shake that off our psyche and let everybody do them, and then we collectively do us and empower us. We don't want to shake that off collectively, and we got to shake that off, and we got to get rid of the coons who want to hold on to that shit too. So that's what that is, man. But man, thank you for the call, my brother. All right, that's my very good question. I'm gonna touch a little bit on that later. Very good question. It's that somebody in the chat room said that post-traumatic slave syndrome. We're always caping for other groups. Just look at the picture right now on the show. What is this Negro doing? It's a Negro hugging a damn Nazi. This happened a couple of weeks ago. A Negro hugging a fucking Nazi. These Nazis are trying to kill you. There's Nazis out here beating the shit out of black folks. This nigga want to hug one. You dig? Just moist cooning. We got to cut that bullshit out. You know, speaking of moist cooning, you know, speaking of Uber, I was when I went to Baltimore for the screening of 1804, and this is all about energy too. Speaking of energy, this reminded me of having the right energy. You dig? Because sometimes niggas do shit and I'm like, nigga, I get offended because what makes you think you comfortable enough to kind of have that energy around me? But I'm in an Uber. I get in an Uber on my way to the airport. And the Uber driver picks me up from the house as a brother. He's a cool brother. Look like a regular G, you know, cool brother. And, you know, we get in the car. He's real cool. You know, he's like, hey, bro, you know, you can, you know, I got Spotify, man. You can put on any kind of music you want to put on, bro. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm like, you know, he's cool. The brother was cool. I'm like, oh, cool. So, you know, I put on some Parliament Funkadelic. I put on, you know, I put the Parliament channel. So we're bumping. Hold on. I'm bumping the Parliament. I put the Funkadelic on. So we're driving for like 5 minutes. I'm chilling. I'm on my phone listening to Parliament, grooving. This nigga turned the damn Parliament off and then put on some fucking India Irie. I'm like, what the fuck? This nigga turned the music off and then put on some kind of, some real weird, he put on India Irie. I'm like, what the fuck is this nigga doing? This nigga put this shit on. And then he wanted to strike up a conversation. He was like, so what you do, Tariq? Then his voice got a little moist. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, what the fuck is this nigga talking about? I'm like, you know, I do a little this, you know, I do a little that. And he's trying to have a casual conversation with some India Irie in the back. And I'm low-key getting kind of weird because I'm like two grown-ass niggas in a goddamn car listening to India Irie don't sound right. He's like, so yeah, man, you know, I live out here. I've been driving Uber for a while. I don't give a fuck about none of this shit. Because you know how them Uber niggas be a little chatty? Sometimes these Uber niggas be a little chatty and telling me his life. I don't want to hear all that bullshit, especially to no fucking India Irie, nigga. Then I'm changing the subject. I'm like, well, look, bro, look. I got to really get to the airport because I'm late, man. I missed my flight earlier. And, you know, my flight is that, you know. Then that nigga got real serious. Then he made it his life mission to take me to the airport. This nigga was like, oh, what time your flight is, Tariq? I said, it's in about 30 minutes. That nigga said, you know what? I'm going to get you to that flight, Tariq. I'm like, okay. All right, nigga. And this nigga start hitting side streets. And I'm telling this nigga start driving like a fucking maniac while playing India Irie. This is how it sounds. This shit was like, hold on. This nigga was hitting corners. I mean, this nigga was dipping. With India Irie playing in the back, driving crazy as cat shit. And this nigga was like literally risking our lives to get me to the airport. And this nigga was yelling at other cars like, get out the way! Get out the way! Get out the way! I'm sorry, Tyreek. I am light. I am light. Move! I'm like, what the fuck? So this nigga, and we still bumping the NDIRE. So this nigga, we get to the fucking airport. That nigga got me to the airport from the Valley to LAX in about 15 fucking minutes. And you in LA, you know, that's a long ass way. But that nigga got me to the airport. And that nigga like, okay, Tariq, be sure to give me 5 stars. I said, all right, nigga. Is that? I'm like, this nigga, what else does this nigga want? This nigga got me to the airport like he wanted a favor. And I can't give you those kind of favors, nigga. My God. But you got niggas out here that the energy is real fucking weird, dude. So shout out, and I don't know if he was moist or not, but his voice sounded, he sounded and acted a little bit moist. So I don't know if he was or not, but the shit was, it was scary as fucking hell. And I tipped the nigga too on Uber. I gave him a big ass tip. I'm like, I don't want this nigga to find my address and be like, remember I had did you that favor, Tariq? I'm like, all right, nigga. No, let's not. Let me just even this shit up right here, nigga. We'll give you a damn tip, motherfucker. But a lot of energy, man. A lot of niggas got this real moist fucking energy now, man. We gotta, you know, we gotta kind of chill out on that, man. We need a warrior spirit out here. Yeah, we need a warrior spirit out here in the game, family. I mean, this shit is getting real crazy. Well, let's see who else is on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, what up, man? What up? It's Gibran from Atlanta, man.
How you doing, brother? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to know, man, because I never hear this topic discussed on the show, man. You familiar with, like, Bitcoin and what's going on with that scene?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are talking about Bitcoin and all that old stuff, and that's something that we can look into, but we really need to invest in tangible things, because the Bitcoin thing kind of reminds me of the dot-com craze of the late 90s. A lot of people were talking about the dot-com thing, and the bubble burst, and if you didn't cash your money out, you would have lost a lot of money. So the Bitcoin thing,
that's
a lot,
what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So a lot of people are jumping on that. So I would say kind of be a little weary of it, because when they're publicly talking about how something is hot, the bubble is about to burst on it. So, you know, they keep the real shit that's going to make some paper. They keep that under wraps. So you got to know who's who, and you got to know some inside stuff and all that. So,
Yeah.
So I would say kind of stick with some tangible things, man. Something that's going to definitely appreciate and value, something that like gold, oil, stuff like that. All right, brother, but thanks for the call.
Definitely.
Sir. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. There's a girl, I'm looking at my Twitter now, and this is another thing. I see a lot of memes of like interracial couples, especially bedwinches, and these memes say stuff like, It's a white dude and a black woman, and there's a mixed baby, and they're saying some shit like, well, this is how you stop racism. Like, no, y'all don't understand how racism works. That right there is the reason because of racism. I see a lot of people post these kind of memes. If you have interracial sex, that's going to stop racism, and you cannot be more wrong. Interracial sex is the reason for systematic white supremacy. Y'all need to just burn that into your brains. That's the reason for it. That's not going to stop it. The white supremacists know black man, white woman equals black child. White man, black woman equals black baby. That's the threat. They look at that as war. You understand? That's what black folks don't understand that, and black women don't understand that. Black men don't understand that either. There's a thread on Twitter right now. This white girl, she was putting some white supremacists on blast who tried to holler at her. Her name is Sarah Chamberlain. And what happened was she inadvertently exposed her own low-key racism. And I retweeted this about an hour ago. But this woman, she tweeted, her and this guy texting each other. And he said in the text, he said, serious question. She said, yeah, what's up? Have you hooked up with a black guy? Now, let me pause for a second. Let me tell y'all something. In white supremacist society, almost every white woman has been asked that question. Rarely without exception. Oh, I want y'all to understand that in white supremacist society, almost every white woman has been asked that question. That's one of the main questions that's asked to white women when a suspected white supremacist male wants to date her. I mean, really without exception. Now, a lot of them won't tell you that, but that's one of the main things they want to know. Have you been with a damn black dude? That's a real, real big thing. Howard Stern used to do that when he would have white female guests on the show. He would randomly ask that. Have you been with a black guy before? Just real random. People thought it was random. But no, that's a very common question that white supremacist males want to know. That's a very common question. That's why even hell in pornography, in degenerate sex, when the white female gets in the porn game, if she wants to keep her quote unquote money value up, she can't do interracial scenes with a black person because psychologically it fucks with the white supremacist viewers. That's a real big thing in the porn industry. That's why that dirtbag hag cum bucket Jenna Jameson, she never had interracial sex on film. And she's racist as fucking hell now. She sounds just like the alt-right white supremacist now. She's a part of that whole suspected white nationalist crew. And I pointed, because she used to troll me on Twitter, and I pointed out that her husband, her ex-husband, has black in him, and he confirmed it. Y'all go find that thread on Twitter. Me and her were going, this happened about a year ago. She was trolling me with her bullshit, trying to get brownie points with the alt-right by trolling my page. That's how a lot of these alt-right people or alt-right sympathizers try to get brownie points by coming on my page with fuckery. You dig? But that's a very common question that's asked to the white female by the white supremacist male. So the text was, have you hooked up with a black guy? She said, well, damn, talk about a serious question. Where is this coming from? I did once, but it was a long time ago. Why? And then he said, did you have sex? Yes, but we use protection. Seriously, why are you asking me this? Now, let me pause right there. Now, right there, you notice what she's saying? Look at her low-key racism. Look how she's trying to minimize it. Yeah, I did it, but it was a long time ago, as if it was a big mistake. I didn't know what I was doing. I might have been drugged. It's that talk. You see what I'm saying? That's how those Cosby women were talking. Yeah, I fucked a black guy, but he you know what? He drugged me. I forgot that he drugged me. It took me 50 years to remember, but I just remembered he drugged me, and my conscience is clear. It wasn't me. I wasn't responsible. I was unconscious. That's why I was sucking that black dick over and over again. I didn't know. I kept getting drugged over and over. There has to be some kind of excuse they can use to wiggle up out of the white supremacist hot seat. But notice the woman in this text, she's minimizing it. Oh, that was a long time ago, as if that was something I did wrong. Also, yeah, but I use protection. Like, well, the nigger tree didn't get on me. Yeah, I fucked a nigga, but the nigger juice didn't get on me. You see what she's saying? And this is what some of y'all niggas like laying up with. Yeah, I was drunk. Yeah, I did, but I used protection, so it really wasn't sex. You see, and she's one of these people, I guess she tries to be, she thinks that she's liberal or something. But look at that mentality, though. And this dude, he says, this might make me sound like an asshole, and I'm sorry if it causes harm, but I don't find it attractive when white women have in their past or present ever had relations with black men. I'm sorry. And she says, not judging you, I just don't agree with it. As far as I'm concerned, I don't want to hang out anymore. I'm sorry, plus nothing was going to become of this anyway. You asked me a question and I was honest with you. So yeah, it does seem like you're judging me. Why don't you want to anymore? There obviously had to be some reason. I knew something was up the last couple of days. You just want to tell me? I already told you I can't make it more clear. I don't hook up or would ever have a relationship with a woman that has ever been with a black man. And I think that might be the end of it. Hold on, wait, let me double check. That might be the end of it. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if there's any more to it. Because I'm telling you, this is a very common, very, very common thing. Oh, yeah, I think there is some more to it. Hold on one second. I think this is more. Well, let me see. Okay, serious question. Why are you a racist fucking pig? So I'm not racist. It's just something that I don't agree with. I own a color TV. I'm not racist a bit. I just don't agree with it that it's a problem. I have options. So he's trolling her. What in the world? In what world is that not racist? Discriminating against somebody because of their skin color? You know nothing about the people I've hooked up. Therefore, you're basing it on race. Racist? Negative. I base it on a feeling I have about a situation. If you can't respect my feelings, then by all means, delete my number. And forget me. I'll accept things the way they are. Nor was I discriminating anyone for the color of their skin, Sarah. The last thing I am is a racist. I have had a black guy live with me. Have I had a black guy work with me at the port? I just don't agree with white men and women having relations. Understand that, man. The white supremacists can be right there up under you, but at the end of the day, they are team white supremacy. I got a black roommate, but I don't play that race mixing shit. Because again, that's like warfare. They look at that as warfare. And the white supremacist male, now understand, the white supremacist male historically, I mean, they run up in black women like it's crazy. So they know that the lust that they have for black sex, that lust carries over to the white supremacist female too. You love your white privileges. You love the system of white supremacy. You love the benefits you get being a part of team and religion white supremacy. But you also love a black dick up in you. Oh, that black dick feels great. You love a black dick. So you kind of have to balance that. And the white supremacist male, oh, you love segregation. You love police brutality among black folks. You love it. You love seeing black folks get the shit kicked out of them. You love your benefits, but you love black pussy too. So you got to balance that. And black folks have to understand this. You don't have to be on that kumbaya shit trying to get them to understand you. See, we got this thing where black folks are trying to convince the white supremacists that their racism is wrong. I really wish we stopped that bullshit because that's more symbolic nothingness. As Trump would say, that's a nothing burger. It's pointless. We're beyond that. I've seen another video of this white dude teaching people about white privilege and all this, and people, the video got like millions and millions of Facebook retweets and or not retweets but reposts and likes and all this stuff, and I don't give a shit about that. I don't care about some so-called liberal person in the dominant society pointing out how racial injustice is and what privilege is. I don't give a fuck about y'all pointing that out. I only care about what you're going to help do about it. Only people I want to see from the dominant society are people with the spirit of John Brown. I want to see those with the John Brown spirit. You don't have to point out to some shit that we've been pointing out for the last 40 and 50 years. We've had people like Dr. Welsing, Dr. Amos Wilson, Dr. Claude Anderson. We've had some of the greatest scholars in black society pointing out what the problem is. We don't need somebody in the dominant society to just point out the damn problem, because understand this, they'll point out the problem and still be team white supremacy, just like Tim Wise. Tim Wise, you know, I used to co-sign Tim Wise, but then he started talking real suspect. And my brother, Gus T. Renegade, has been calling him out for years for being a low-key white supremacist. You dig? So enough of the damn talk. There's that YouTube chick, Lacey Green. She made a video talking about how white privilege disenfranchises black folks, and black folks were propping her up. Oh, man, this is a white girl who get it. Man, she gets it. Lacey Green, she gets it. Look her up. She did a video talk. Yeah, black people are targeted by the law. I mean, she had all the numbers that we've been spewing for years. We know all this shit, but it was a white girl saying it. Everybody's propping her up. But little do you know about Lacey Green's ass, her boyfriend is a goddamn suspected white supremacist. Chris Raygun, he has a whole bunch of videos talking shit about black folks, and she hangs out with all those alt-right people and cunty and all of these fucking wannabe white supremacists. She hangs out with all of these people with anti-black rhetoric. So we can't be fooled by these folks. These folks will sit up here and talk a good game and be right up there aligning themselves with team white supremacy. They're not going to do anything about the shit. And I don't need you talking and pointing out some shit that I already know. Them pointing out somebody in the chat room hit it on the money. Them pointing out the problem is low-key mockery. Them pointing out the problem is them low-key winking at each other like, hey, look there. They think that I'm down with them. They think that I'm one of them. See, it's symbolic. We think just because a white person can point out racism that they're somehow down. We think just because they're not walking around with a swastika tattoo that they're somehow cool, that they're somehow different from the damn Richard Spencers and people like that. Understand this. Stop trying to convince a white person or a white supremacist or a suspected white supremacist how bad racism is. Trust me, they know. They're not dumb. You don't get to maintain a system of complete dominance without knowing, proactively knowing the effect that it has. You don't get to maintain a system like that. You know that the system is racially unequal. They know that. They maintain that system by acknowledging that it's racially unequal. They verbalize how racially unequal it is. They'll practice racism, they'll practice white supremacy, and turn around and say, oh, I don't have a racist bone in my body. I have sex with a black person. So we don't have time for that. We don't have time to try to convince folks of something they already know. The name of the game is to deny. No matter how much evidence you bring, they're going to deny. So when we find a person in the dominant society who pretends to get it, which they all get it, by the way, we think that's some kind of victory. Oh my God, I want them over. Yes. Okay, now what do we get? Are race soldiers being punished? Are we being compensated for being economically deprived? You dig? But the white supremacists, they love practicing white supremacy and then playing dumb. And you notice that the white supremacists are smart. They're geniuses as far as everything else, except when it comes to racism, white supremacy. They're geniuses until you say something about racism, and all of a sudden they don't know nothing. They got to be taught. Oh God, I don't know. I'm so confused. All of a sudden they're like babies. They don't know nothing. That's a crock of bullshit. That is a crock of bullshit. The thing is, you have to let them know that you ain't falling for the bullshit. That's one thing I do. I don't try to convince the white supremacists of nothing. I let them know that your bullshit ain't working on me. And that throws them off their game, because then I wake other black folks up. That's why they attack me so much. You dig? They know the game, though. There was an article that came out from Politico.com. And it was trending earlier on Twitter. And the article is a very good article, by the way, from Politico magazine. It says, Johnstown never believed Trump would help. They still love him anyway. And the co-line is, in a depressed former steel town, the president's promises don't matter as much as they once did. So I'm going to skip through a lot of stuff in the story, but the whole article is basically all of these fucking white supremacists in these bullshit little towns, because that's what this article is symbolic of. It's symbolic of all these other people who voted for Trump, but this one town in particular where there's a lot of Trump supporters. They're basically like, yeah, we know Trump ain't gonna do shit for us, but we still love him. We know Trump is breaking all the promises he made to us, but we still love him. We know that he lies through his teeth and he's a degenerate, but we still love him. You dig? And the reporter says in the story, hold on, he says, all of this is perhaps not so surprising considering polling continues to show that in spite of unprecedented unpopularity, nearly all the people who voted for Trump would do it again. But as I compared this year's answers to last year's responses, it seemed clear that the basis of people's support has morphed. Johnstown's voters do not intend to hold the president accountable for the non-negotiable pledges he made to them. It's not that people who made Trump president have generally moved the goalposts for him. It's that they've eliminated the goalpost altogether. It's basically like, we know he ain't going to do shit, so we don't care. They can't tell the lies no more. Because you remember they used to say, well, yeah, we voted for Trump not because of no racism or nothing. We just feel that he's going to really boost the economy. We voted for Trump because we felt like Trump is going to get some jobs. I mean, because nobody could give a tangible, real answer on why they voted for fucking Trump. Trump is not a politician. He's never been in public office before. He has a very bad business track record of bankruptcies and lawsuits. So people couldn't really give a good reason to vote for Trump. And he made a bunch of bullshit promises that he has not kept. And people were trying to hold on to those lies. And now that the lies have shown that they're not coming true, this article says basically they removed the goalposts. They don't expect him to do anything. And I'm going to read some more of it. It says, for them, evidently, it's not what he's doing so much as it is the people he's fighting. Trump is simply and unceasingly angry on their behalf, battling the people who vex them the worst. Obstructionist Democrats, nigga lovers. That's what that means. Understand these words, by the way. Look, the white supremacists are very good at throwing these words out there. Obstructionist Democrats. That means niggas and niggas nigga lovers. All right. Understand what that means. Another group they don't like, uncooperative establishment Republicans. That means all these Republicans who are like, hey, I ain't really fucking with Trump. They ain't really down with the white supremacist thing. That's what they mean. Uncooperative establishment Republicans. White. That means Republicans who are not open white supremacists. I'm trying to translate these terms. They love hiding behind words. They're not dumb, family. If you think the white supremacists are dumb, they are not dumb. Other groups they don't like, the media, Black Lives Matter protesters, and NFL players. And then they put in parentheses, boy, oh boy, do they hate kneeling NFL players, whom they see as ungrateful, disrespectful millionaires. See, that's what it's really about. That's what it's always been about. And even the person writing the article is really trying to cape for them a little bit. They're just nothing. Just say it. They're just a bunch of fucking white supremacists, dude. That's all it is. The average Trump voter, which many of us believe, and I've said many times, the average Trump voter is just a white supremacist. Wait, who? Okay, that's not Ben Shapiro. If you are Ben Shapiro, call up. That's most likely Crispy. That's most likely Crispy. Because we got somebody in the chat room claiming to be Ben Shapiro. Call up. We need you to call up. Call in. 818-850-5404. Hold on 1 second. 5404. Okay. All right. Call it. I know that's not Ben Shapiro. That's probably Crispy or somebody pretending, but call up. call up. That is the number. That sounds like Crispy, though. That sounds like the Crispy Coon. Let me see who this is real quick on the phone. Hold on. Hello, who's calling?
Hello?
What's up? Who's this?
Hey, Tariq.
Call back, nigga. You sound like you just smoked something. Come on, hey, Tariq. Fuck is this? That sound like the Uber driver. Shit. All right. All right. All right. The person in the room, he's just bullshitting around. All right. Yeah, you know, because I light Ben Shapiro's ass up with facts. But oh, let me finish reading some parts of that article, though, man, because this is really interesting. In the mindset of a Trump-supporting white supremacist. Hold on 1 second. I want to get down to the last paragraph, which really just brings the shit on home in this political piece about Trump voters. Now, it says, one afternoon last week, I stopped to talk to a small group of people who had gathered on a sidewalk across the street from the Johnson's Planned Parenthood office. One woman had set up a bucket of body parts of toy babies. So they're doing this whole abortion thing. One lady says, Trump is kind of the last best hope, in my opinion, says Bala, 65, a retired high school Spanish and reading teacher. I haven't run into anybody who said they'll never vote for him again. Next to Bala was a gray-haired man who told me he voted for Trump and was happy because he kept his promises. I asked, which one? He said, border security. But I said, there's no wall yet. The man said, well, no fault of his. So the dude just said that Trump kept his promises. The reporter asked which one. The guy said the border security. There is no fucking border security. So what are you talking about? Well, not his fault. So the guy knew he was full of shit. The person he's asking, he knows he's full of shit. All right? He knows that Trump has not made no promises. Understand, this is the white supremacists are not dumb. They play dumb. He's not dumb. He knows Trump hasn't made any of his promises, none. But he goes along with the lie in order to save face. And then the reporter says, okay, what else? Getting rid of Obamacare. The reporter says, well, he hasn't gotten rid of Obamacare. The white supremacist, well, he tried to. And the reporter said, what else? Defund Planned Parenthood. The reporter again, but he didn't defund Planned Parenthood. Not his fault again. I asked for his name. The man said, Bill K. He wouldn't give me his last name. And he said, well, I don't trust you. More than anything, what seemed to upset the people I spoke with was the National Football League players who have knelt during the national anthem to protest police brutality and racial inequality. Quote, as far as I'm concerned, Freer told me, one of the white supremacists, if I was the boss on these teams, I would tell them, get your asses out there and play, or you're not here anymore. They're paying for their salaries, for God's sakes. Another person, Del Signor, said, shame on them. These clowns are out there making millions of dollars a year, and they're using some stupid excuse that they want equality. I got to pause on that. Listen to that. These are Trump voters in 2017. This article was not written in the Jim Crow era. These are Trump voters, white supremacists right now. They're using the stupid excuse that they want equality. So I'll kneel against the flag and the national anthem. And the reporter says, you're not a fan of equality, I ask. And then they said, for people who deserve it and earn it, he said, all my ancestors were Italian, 100% Italian. The Irish, the Germans, the Polish, whatever. They all came here, settled in places like this. They all work hard and they earn respect. They earn the success they got. Now, they know that's bullshit. They know that's a crock of bullshit. But I'll digress. It goes on to say, some people don't want that. They just want it handed to them. And the reporter said, like the NFL players, I said, well, Del Signor responded, I hate to say what the majority of them are. He stopped himself short of what I thought he was about to say. Schilling and her husband, however, did not restrain themselves. They said, the thing that irritates me to no end is this NFL shit, Schilling told me in her living room. This is another white supremacist. I'm about ready to go over the top with this shit. We do not watch no NFL now. They're Dallas Cowboy fans. We banned them and we won't watch it. Bullshit. That's more bullshit. They always pretend that they're banning football. That's bullshit. They're watching every Sunday. They are watching. That's another crock of bullshit. They watch it. Let me finish what this says, though. Schilling looked at her husband, Dave McCobb, who's 67 and retired. He's a high school basketball coach. She nodded at me. Tell him, she said to McCobb, what you said the NFL is. McCobb looked momentarily weary. He laughed a little and said, I don't remember saying that, he said unconvincingly. Schilling was having none of it. She said, you're the one who told me, liar, she said. She looked at me. The NFL, what does that mean? They said, niggers for life. You dig? These white supremacists aren't dumb. They know what the hell the deal is. They know what the damn deal is. Hold on, wait. This fake Ben Shapiro, I got to ban him out the room. He's trolling in the room. I'm sorry, guys. I had to ban the fake Ben Shapiro out the room. All right. Yeah, I got him out there. That's most likely Crispy's ass. He said I didn't see he was calling. Well, no, call up. If fake Ben Shapiro, call up. Call up. And he's not calling. The phone lines are wide open. Fake Ben Shapiro, I banned you out the room, so call up now. He said he's calling. He's not calling. The phone line is not ringing. He's just trolling. All right. And there's like a 15-10 second delay. Yeah, I booted him out the room. We got somebody in the room talking about their Ben Shapiro, which they're not. It's just some, most likely it's a Crispy Coon and they're trolling. You dig? But the very good article, man, real deep. We have to understand these white supremacists. They're not dumb. They know who they are. They know what they are. They know what their agenda is. And they know the reason why they're supporting Trump, because Trump is team white supremacy. That's the only reason they're supporting him. And what's happening now, a lot of people are going back over to the Democratic Party and electing the Democrats as a way to just basically get away from the Trump regime, which is fine, which is cool. But the thing is, on Twitter today, I saw a lot of symbolic victories. There are a lot of black folks being elected as the first black mayor of, I think, St. Paul, Minnesota. There was another black mayor here, another black city council person here. Then there was a black trans, not a black, there was one state, there was a transsexual elected to Congress, or not Congress, or some type of political position. I forgot what it was. They were elected. It was the first time a transsexual got elected. Then there was a Sikh guy, one of those East Indian looking dudes in Hoboken, New Jersey. I think he's the mayor. So a lot of black folks were celebrating these symbolic victories. And I'm saying black folks got to chill the fuck out on that. Don't be fooled by all these cities getting these black mayors and an East Indian mayor, or a trans mayor, or a governor, or a senator, or a congressperson, or a representative, whatever. Because that doesn't trickle down to you, black people. That shit does not trickle down to you. We've had Obama in office for 8 years. We had him, and he didn't do anything for black folks specifically. It was that lift every boat, and black people will get incidental benefits. None of that. No, that was nothing. Basically nothing. He gave specific things to specific groups, except us. We don't know how to make a politician have an agenda for us. We got to have an agenda. We got to put people in office with our agenda attached to these people. All of this other shit is symbolic victories, and that's dangerous for us, because what happens, all of these other groups are helped. See, this what happened with Obama. Obama started helping these Hispanic groups, these gay groups. I mean, he was getting all types of shit popping with them. Native American, the Dreamers, all these people coming in. He's protecting these folks, and we out here getting slaughtered in the fucking streets. No, because people were taking all the shit out on the unprotected people. The white supremacists were taking all of that anger that they had for all of these other groups getting shit. They were taking it out on us. They always take it out on us. They take it out on the weakest, most non-protected group. We don't know how dangerous it is to have these Democrats up here. And I'm not caping for the Republicans or anybody, but having the Democrats here without us putting them there puts us in a vulnerable position. That's why when the caller called earlier, we're making some good points. Nothing has really happened to us, black folks, collectively under Trump that didn't happen under Obama tenfold. Nothing really fucked up has happened to us. All the other groups are getting the shit kicked out of them. And that's the thing. A lot of folks like for us to get out there and vote and be the slaves and sacrifice ourselves so that everybody else can be cool and be part of team white supremacy against us. So we got to be very careful about all these symbolic victories, these mayors and these senators and all these state reps who are black and non-white or whatever. And we haven't put them there. It's not going to be good for us. That symbolic victory, that shit bites us in the ass. They did that back in the 1970s. That's what happened when they had the civil rights movement and they got certain civil rights bills passed and all that. There was white flight. So they gave black folks symbolic victories by giving us all of these black mayors and all these cities. And that's when all these cities went straight to hell because they took the economic base out the cities. See, we weren't focused on the money like we should have been. They took all the economic base, the tax base. They took all the money up out of these cities and gutted them. Like our brother Claude Anderson said, they had a scorched earth warpath in these cities and just decimated them and said, okay, there you go. You're a mayor of this city that we've just gutted. You dig? So we're like, okay, yay, we got a black mayor, but we ain't got no money. We ain't got no jobs, no money for schools, no businesses, nothing. Just symbolic bullshit. But the mayor's black. Come on now. Let's be happy about the damn black mayor. Out here in L.A., he had, what was it, Tom Bradley? Had a black mayor. The minute the black mayor got in, the gang problem shot through the roof. There was nothing for us out here. No jobs, nothing. So we got to be very weary of that. When they start throwing those black politicians up there and we're not backing them with our paper, you're just getting a black puppet for white supremacy. I mean, let's look at the situation with Meek Mill. We were talking about Meek Mill. Meek Mill got sentenced to 2 to 4 years in prison because of a parole violation. And the parole violation was basically him popping a wheelie. He was popping wheelies in New York. He got arrested. The charges were dropped. But the black judge, it was a black female judge, who yanked that parole, that probation, and said, oh, you violated the fact that you got arrested. I got to send you in. See, if you ain't putting the black politicians up in office yourself, that's what you get. You get that. You get these black judges that's team white supremacy. That's what you get. You get black judges like the one who just sentenced Meek Mill. And we're playing this game. We're walking around with free Meek Mill shirts. Somebody email me a damn free Meek Mill petition. If y'all don't stop, don't ever email me no shit like that. Please do not email me any petition for shit. Petitions don't work. Let's just stop wasting our fucking time with petitions. That's more symbolic bullshit. It makes you feel like you're doing something when you ain't doing shit. A petition don't mean nothing. It's a waste of time. You don't get shit done with no damn petition. It's black folks. It don't work like that. These people have built up a system that took 500 years to build up. You think you're going to type in your name and then press send, and that's going to stop white supremacy? It don't work like that. The man was on probation for 10 fucking years. First of all, we know how the probation game works, and it gets us caught up in the game. It gets us fucked up. This is why we got to proactively be about getting these politicians in our pocket. We got to be on this shit where we're hobnobbing with politicians so we can get them to do our bidding. We got to get these judges on our side. The reason why you got these bedwench coon-ass judges out here is because the white supremacists keep quiet and they fund these people. They know where the money is coming from. These black judges, they know who's going to get them in office and whose money is going to be behind them. We love to just trick the money off, fuck it off. When we go to a city, we want to know where the big booty strippers are. You need to know who the damn politicians are, who's the senators. Everywhere you go, especially if you got a little change, even if you don't, you need to know who the politicians are. When I was in Baltimore, when I did the screening of 1804, the mayor came. I'm chilling and chopping it up with the mayor. We're talking about policies. I'm talking about, okay, what do we need to do to get the black folks in Baltimore popping? That's what I'm talking about to her. When I went down to Ferguson, St. Louis, I'm talking to the senators and the Congress people about what we need to do. That's who we need to be chopping it up with. When I went down to Miami Gardens, the mayor came through from Miami Gardens and gave me an award down there. So we got to chop it up with these politicians. We got to chop it up and get these folks in our pockets. We got to start spreading some of that cheddar and stop tricking it off on dumb shit and using that money to get political connections so people can do our bidding for us. You understand that? And somebody's talking about Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is team white supremacy. She's there's a stench of bedwench there, has a white husband. She ain't said nothing about a black agenda, and she's not going to do nothing for us. It's all, they got too much white money under her right now. So now, when y'all see them pushing Kamala Harris, now that's a trick bag. I'm telling y'all now, they're going to start pushing her heavy. And what we need to start doing now, who's going to be the so-called Democrat? And I don't really give a fuck about Democrat or Republicans, even if it's an independent person. I want to know who we can put some money behind to give us a black agenda so we can go to them and say, okay, this is what black folks need. And we got to start getting niggas on code off that people of color, minority. Well, what about women and intersectionality and all that old shit, dude? We have to come to people with money in hand and a black agenda. This, black folks, this is what we need. We need these race soldiers locked the fuck up. We don't need you to train them. We don't need you to give them money for damn schools and psychological police training. No, we need you to lock these fuckers up for killing us. We need to have the same thing like they have. Those unions, those police unions are basically little money pools. That's what it is. It ain't nothing but a money pool. That's why when they kill somebody, the first thing they call is their union lawyer. Those are money pools. We got to have the same thing. That's why, you know what I want to do? I'm going to get a Facebook page that's completely private, because a lot of folks are on Facebook, and then we're going to screen people. We're going to have to get our think tank thing going on. And I've been thinking, we just make it a real, real private group on Facebook and really screen the people who are allowed to get into that thing. So that we can talk behind the scenes about how to get some policies popping. I need some good minds to really chop it up so we can really get some things going. But on the quiet, though, you know, so we can avoid this shit like, you know, little trolls in the room. Because I've been talking about getting a think tank going. We had a think tank thing going where I had people call and it was a certain number of us. But what I want to do, I want to make it an ongoing thing. And that would be a good idea to have it as a private group. Lock that shit in, but screen everybody and moderate it heavy. You can't even get in. We're going to have to verify you and all that to even be a part of it. So we can chop it up and come up with some ideas on policies, an agenda, what politician we should back, who we should get down with. I mean, we need to get this thing going. We need to get it going, because understand, it ain't about Democrat or Republican. Again, that's why I said if there's an independent or whoever who's down to maintain a black agenda, or who will run on a black agenda and specifically do something for us as a group, I'm down with that. But understand, don't be fooled by that Republican Democrat shit. Just because a black person's a Democrat, that don't mean nothing. You know, David Clark, Sheriff Clark, is a damn Democrat. A lot of folks don't realize that. Sheriff Clark is a goddamn Democrat. He is not a black Republican. That coon-ass nigga is a damn Democrat. You dig? So, yeah, you get a Democrat, but it's a Democrat like Sheriff Clark, then you back at square one. You fucked up in the game. And speaking of Sheriff Clark, he has a very interesting background. Hey, let me ask the family this. Because I'm coming up with some new ideas for a new documentary. And, you know, Hidden Colors 5, that's coming whatever. You know, I'm not in a rush to do Hidden Colors 5. You know, I kind of want to experiment with some new stuff, just like 1804 was experimental and that shit took off. So I want to try different genres of documentaries. I'm thinking, and y'all help me, chat room, help me, listeners. I'm thinking about, there's a few documentary ideas that I have. I definitely, eventually, not soon, but eventually, I do want to do a hip-hop documentary. I'm a big fan of hip-hop. I like the origins of hip-hop. So that's later. But the next documentary, before Hidden Colors 5, I'll probably do Hidden Colors 5 next year or something. I want to do a documentary either about Black Wall Street, just do a full documentary about it, Black Wall Street from Tulsa, Oklahoma. But the thing is, there have been a few documentaries about Black Wall Street, but, you know, I can, you know, really make it pop off. I don't like to do too many documentaries about things that were done before. But I'm telling y'all, man, I really want to do a coon documentary. I really want to do a coon documentary, do a documentary on coons. That has never been done before. And, you know, it's not going to be disparaging anybody. It's not going to be where I'm clowning folks. I really want to get into the, you know, we find coons and look at popular coons and just really get into the psychological aspect of cooning. What makes you a coon? Because some of that shit is interesting to me. It's very interesting to me. And I'm not going to do it to shed a positive light on the coons, because coons should be marginalized to a certain degree. But it will give you an understanding on their mentality and how not to raise your children, at least. But I've been really wanting to do a coon documentary. Just really look at the psychological makeup of a coon. What should be the name of it? If we do something like that, what would be a good name? Because we say the psychological aspect of cooning, or the psychology of cooning, or the coon trimentary or whatever. You know, we got to call it something else. You know, because, you know, white supremacists, they do protect the coons temporarily. So they'll start flagging this shit. If we even promote it online, they'll try to flag it just because it has the word coon in it. So we have to come up with another name. We'd have to come up with another name for that. But I think that would be a very... Wouldn't you guys be interested in that? Just the mindset of a coon? Like, for David Clark, his background is extremely interesting. Even though he's a butter biscuit-eating Sambo coon, you got to understand what got him to that. You got to understand what got David Clark to be a coon. And I've studied his background. It's interesting. David Clark, he grew up in Milwaukee. And his dad was a military guy, David Clark Sr. And his mother was a real light-skinned lady. And every picture I see of her, she has a sunken place look for some reason. But the thing is, David Clark, he's one of those guys. Oh, ain't no racism. Ain't no racism. Black folks just don't pull themselves up by the bootstraps. He's one of those kind. But David Clark, he and his family, they grew up in Milwaukee in like a white area where he went to a school. I think like a Catholic school where he was like the only black kid there. And the family moved into a neighborhood where it was like only two black families. So they moved into a white supremacist neighborhood where there were only two black families, them and another black family. So they only allow, you know how the white supremacists, they'll only allow one or two in. So they were allowed to move into a white neighborhood. And I think the dad grew up in a one of those neighborhoods where he was allowed. They were the only black family. He was the only black kid. So Sheriff Clark, from a kid, everybody he was with, all his schoolmates or whatever were white. So he was the only black kid. And him growing up, the kids used to call him Little Black Sambo. They used to call him Nigger and Little Black Sambo. And he did an interview in the Milwaukee magazine. It was a local magazine years ago, back in 2003. And he talked about how, yeah, they used to call me Little Black Sambo and Nigger. And, you know, I think they did the same thing to my dad. But, you know, I was just told to just don't even just ignore that. Let it roll off you. And it never affected me. Yeah, they called me names, but I just learned how not to let that affect me. But the thing is, it did affect that nigga. See, that's the thing. He admit that he was called all types of names by little white supremacists, and understand the children are basically a reflection of the white supremacists who run those neighborhoods. The fact that it's segregated, it's white supremacists by definition, and the kids don't know how to be on code with white supremacy and codify their language. So the kids are going to say what the parents say at home. But as a child, Sheriff Clark was called Nigger and Little Black Sambo growing up. And he pretends that that didn't affect him. The hell it didn't. That right there is what made him the coon he is today. See, I like to look at what I like to see what happened to people as children. That's where that came from. So as a child, in order for him to protect himself, because you're out there by yourself and everybody's calling you Nigger and Little Black Sambo. So what do you do to protect yourself? Yeah, niggers are stupid, huh? So if you start talking like them, they'll ease up off you a little bit. You understand? That's the mentality. See, that's what I like to get into. I mean, you are not born a coon. That's the thing. You're not born a coon, especially not a coon like that. For a coon like David Clark, see, he's a true coon. You dig? Meaning that he coons behind closed doors. You have attention coons, you know, like Stephen A. Smith, Crispy. Those are niggas who just coon for attention. There's a check. Oh, I'm going to get some money. And, well, what up, everybody? You know, that they're cooning for attention. They'll say or do anything just so anybody will look at them because they ain't got no talent. Sheriff Clark is a behind-the-door coon. I mean, this motherfucker don't like no black people. You dig? So that's interesting how this guy was turned into a coon as a child. And he probably doesn't even realize that. That as a defense mechanism, in order to protect himself from being the only black kid around a bunch of hostile white supremacist kids using racial epithets against him, unfortunately, he had to take on their mannerisms in order to protect himself. And after years and years of taking on their mannerisms and their rhetoric, he internalized that shit. Because really, as a child, especially at 12, 11 to 13, those are very developmental years in your brain. So you internalize the shit. They're calling you a little black Sambo and a nigger and a spook. And you keep hearing this, and then you have to agree to protect yourself. All of a sudden, you start believing the shit. You keep saying this shit to yourself and to your friends, and you keep spitting that, and you keep verbalizing that. After a while, you believe that. And when you look in the mirror, you see that. And you hate that. That self-hate is real. Sheriff Clark, that's a self-hate nigga. I can see it in his eyes. He's different from the Stephen A. Smith, even the Jason Whitlock fat ass. He's a food coon. You get that nigga a plate of fucking ribs, that nigga start buck dancing. Jason Whitlock, that's the kind of coon he is. It's not a true to the bone coon. He's just as bad, by the way. Let's be clear. The the attention coons and the food coons are just as bad as the true to the bone coons. And that's another thing. See, the opportunist, so to speak. And that's why I want to break down the different categories of coons in the movie, man. That would be such an interesting documentary, man. That would be a very interesting documentary. Y'all got to help me with some titles on that. You dig? That would be amazing, man. I would actually get Jesse Lee Peterson. I think Jesse would sit down and talk in the thing. And who else should we have in it? Or who else should we feature? Y'all got to give me a list of people. I would do something on Diamond and Silk. I would get into their background. I mean, this thing would be huge, actually, man. I think this should really pop off. It'll be so crazy and interesting. It'll really pop off. I would definitely have Diamond and Silk. Do some on Ray Lewis. You dig? We go back into coons of history. We go back to all of them, man. Man. But yeah, we gotta help me come up with some names for this, man. Help me come up with some names for this thing. Man. Oh yeah, I would go back to, I'm talking about going to Africa with it too. Oh, don't think I'm leaving Africa out. Yeah, I've always said the cooning started in Africa first. There was some coons who helped put us on them damn boats. I'm talking about them. There's one, Tipu Tip from Zanzibar. I'm going to talk about him. He was a black Arab who was enslaving other African people. I'm going to talk about his little black ass. I've been over to Zanzibar, a beautiful country, and I've studied the history there and some of the coons. So I've been studying this shit for a long time, man. It'll be a hell of a documentary. Charles Barkley, that's another one. And me and Charles Barkley grew up in the same area. I lived in Leeds, Alabama. So that's another one. I would go down. Should I interview some family? Because all our family know each other. You dig? My God. Anyway, y'all. Man, it's been a long show tonight, man. I've been chopping it up with you guys. Man, it's been like, shit, it's an hour and 30 minutes I'm here with y'all asses. Y'all hear my voice getting hoarse and everything? Man, we had a great time tonight, man. A lot of good information on today's show, if I may say so myself. Anyway, let me get up out of here, family. Y'all go get 1804movie.com, man. 1804movie.com, ladies and gentlemen. Go get the DVD right now, man. You're going to love the movie. The critics and the reviews, don't lie, man. This thing is just 5-star all the way. People love the film, man. You're going to love this film. It's action-packed. So much good information about Haiti. Also, yeah, Rock Newman, man. Shout out to my brother, Rock Newman. I was on his show, I think. Let me double check now while I'm live on the air. Let me double check while I'm live on the air. Hold on. Let me see if Rock Newman posted up the interview of me on his show talking about Haiti. And shout out to brother Rock Newman. Rock Newman, again, the only brother in traditional black media that has interviewed me for the show, for the movie, rather, 1804. So it's not up yet. It should be probably up tomorrow. It might be up tomorrow. I'm on Rock Newman's show. Rock texted me earlier. I need to have Rock on my show, too, because Rock, we were just talking off air when I was there. Rock used to be into boxing. He was a boxing trainer and all that, and I mean, Rock knows all the behind-the-scenes stuff. We were having a good fucking conversation about Don King and Al Heyman and all the behind-the-scenes shit. So I would love to have Rock on the show to talk boxing, man. Because Rock, he's that dude. He was there in the mix, man. And he can give a lot of good inside shit, man. I think it'll be a great show. So I got to holler at Rock about that. But anyway, man, thank everybody for getting 1804. If you don't have it, get it now. Make sure nobody bootleg it, man. We got to keep this thing legit so we can keep our media going. We can't have janky nigga bootleg shit. We got to do our thing like everybody else do. You don't see all these other people bootlegging their shit. They know what to do, and that's good. We got to stay on our grind, keep everything legit so we can keep on doing this thing, man. All right, family, I'm out of here, man. Y'all have a good day. Go to tariqelite.com to get your Ogun shirts, man. I'm a holler.